Hello and welcome to Watch What Croppens. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Good. Welcome to the show, everybody. Today is Below Deck Midday, Season 11, Episode 10, Crazy Stupid Love. If you want this on video, come to our Patreon. That's also where you get our bonus episodes. This week, we're going to do a trailer trash for the new Real Housewives of Salt Lake City preview. You also get ad-free listening over there, newsletter that's free, Discord server to chat with each other. So join us over there. And thanks to everybody who supports us there. You can also find videos every week free. They become free on YouTube a week later. That's youtube.com/whatcroppens. And today it's Below Deck Mediterranean. Wow. You know, we've always been huge Norma fans on this show, but Norma, what are you doing over there? Just, she can't find anybody to get on this boat.
She's had enough. Okay, Norma's got a life. She's got things to do. She doesn't need Captain Sandy bothering her every second for a deckhand. Okay, enough. Let Norma live.
Do you think Norma's dating or something, and that's why she's distracted?
Yeah. She's like off at the Cannes Film Festival. She's just, you know, she's like mingling with celebrities. You know, she's watching her phone go off here and there. See, it's just Captain Sandy, and she's just like, I'll get to her later. Right now, I'm going to hang out.
Hey, Ben, this is Captain Sandy. I think you misunderstood. Norma's at the Cannes Festival, where they celebrate cans. I saw her taking selfies with a Campbell soup. So,
bloop, bloop. Actually, there was Campbell Scott that I'm with right now. He's a celebrity, I believe. He was in a movie with Julia Roberts back in the day. I think that's what his name was. Anyway, the point is this, bitch. Maybe if you could do a better job on that boat, then I wouldn't have to leave the Cannes Festival for your woods. As in, wouldn't it be nice if you had a deckhand? Sorry, can't help, bitch. Bloop.
Bloop. I'm not reading all that, but I wish you the best.
Bloop. I don't need you to wish me the best. I'm already having the best at the world's best Cannes Festival. Thank you. Bloop.
Below Deck Med. Here we go. Crazy, stupid love. It's the second day of charter in Croatia. And Sandy's on FaceTime with Nathan. He's like, I don't know when I'll be back. But God, it's good spending time with Gail and the baby. I thought, oh, wow. Lucky Gail. Now she gets to take care of two children.
Yeah, exactly. I know this is the monkey paw situation. Be careful what you wish for. Yeah. Gail, you wanted more Nathan. Well, you got more Nathan, and now you have to take care of both of them. And now he's probably moaning and groaning and surly and annoying. And so
his back is bruised, so he can't even carry around the baby and stuff. So yeah, be careful what you wish for. You wanted him back on this boat. She's probably just back there like, oh my God, please go back to the boat. Please, mm-hmm. Please just leave me alone 100%. With my baby. It's
like, I'm in pain. So Sandy's like, I have never been in this situation ever in my life. I got Wordle on the first try. It's an unbelievable. It took me 6 years, but I did it. Wow. Never been in this situation. Oh, also, I don't really have anyone working on this boat. Okay. My deck team is Joe. Okay. I've got Cooper, who's super green. There's Aisha, who's the chief stew. And you know, one of those little octopus things that you throw at the wall and then it walks all the way down, you get in a cereal box. That's my fourth deckhand. It's a real problem.
So Sandy goes to talk to Joe Cooper and Aisha. And she's like, oh, wow, guess what? We're on our own tomorrow. Okay. And just like, Nathan's out of action then. Is Nathan gone? What happened to Nathan? Contain your excitement, boy. Like, his eyes are popping out of his head. He's doing his teeth together smile. Like, this guy is so excited. Bro, have some chill.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, Nathan will not be here. He's not reliable. He's good old unreliable Nathan today. And he's not coming back for today or tomorrow. So we're going to be docking this boat without him. Unfortunately, I really need you to focus. Okay. So Aisha, maybe we can put some people out there, you know, while you're docking. I think it'll be fine. Just fine. Where everything's going to be fine. Why don't they just like radio to a neighboring boat and be like, hey, can we send a tender out and get one of your deckhands to come on board here and help us dock our boat? We had an injury. Like, is that allowed? Can you
do that? That's a Sandy classic. Remember when they lost the chef and then they didn't they get like an assistant chef from another boat, and it was that it was a Russian lady, right?
Duska.
Yeah,
she didn't know anything. She's
that
like,
was a classic. Yeah,
I'm Duska. Yeah.
Get Duska back. Where's she? You know, they bring a lot of people back. It's like, why are we even thinking of Max when there's Duska out there? Come on, man. Duska was classic. So Joe's like, well, it's hard enough, you know, doing this with four deckhands. And now we've got two true deckhands. And I don't know how we're supposed to do this, but I'm going to do it because I'm a hero. I'm a hero. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, we've got it. It's going to be fine.
So then in the pantry, Jen is getting changed for the dinner, whatever, she has to wear like a flapper dress. And then in the galley, Sandy and Joy are there. And Sandy's like, hey, so what's for dinner, young French lady? And she's like, lobster, caviar, bread and oysters. What about Nathan? Oh, he's going to be okay. You know, we're going to dock the boat tomorrow without him. I was wondering, maybe you could help. I was thinking maybe you just take the wheel. And then I'll drop an anchor. How about that? Are you comfortable driving a mega yacht? Is that within your skill set, Joy? I'm in a desperate place.
Hey, glad you're working on caviar, but I'm going to need you to unclog a shower. Someone waffle stomp some bread. So get up there, Joy. You can do this. It's all going to be fine.
And Joy's like, I can help you. I can see what's outside of the world, too.
Yes, I could, I have a question. When you are docking the boat, do you need puff pastry? I mean, it wouldn't hurt, but I don't know. I'll circle back to you on that one.
So Kaylee is asking what she needs to put out for dinner. Does she need a thing for the oysters? And she's like, yes, a fork. Okay. And Aisha's just listening to them. She's like, do you need my help with service? No, we've got it. So Aisha's so impressed with Kaylee's ability to keep things running. I would take my help if it's offered, but it's not being taken. So I'm going to lie here in a bed and take some noodles down.
I wish we had a montage of her just eating noodles in bed, because it's become one of my favorite things after a night out.
Yeah, she actually changed it up this week. Instead of doing noodles later on in the episode, she just shook a maraca endlessly. But yes, I agree. Aisha eating the noodles in bed, like that is her thing. So now everyone's getting changed for dinner service. And Joe is like, well done today, mate. You did a great job. And Coop's like, thank you, brother. There's a way to motivate me and you do it.
Cooper, he's so easily influenced. I mean, does he have a daddy issue? Like, what's his deal that he needs everybody to be his daddy? And then it's the second Joe finally turns him, where he's bitched about Nathan so much. By the way, Nathan wasn't helping with his attitude, but he's finally turned Cooper to his side. And now Cooper is so Joe. He's like, I want to be a player. I just want to flirt with other girls like daddy's doing.
Cooper is definitely the guy in the film noir who gets seduced into doing the crime and then is shocked when he's the one who gets arrested and everyone else gets away with it. Like, he is the one that Linda Fiorentino's like has in her sights in The Last Seduction. He is the one that like Christopher Walken gets to like rob a farm in at close range. Like, he is just the patsy. He is always the patsy.
Yeah.
And he gets excited when these people sidle up to him, whether it's like a sexual seduction or just like a friendship seduction. And then he is the one who gets caught. Like, the bright light of the police cruiser is on his face and he's holding the bag and he's like, wait, but my friend said he was coming back for these. I didn't rob the bank. It's like, yep, you got caught. And here
he is.
You'll
never believe this one, boys. This is in prison. It's also kind of like the little chicken in the cartoon that keeps running around saying, are you my mother? Are you my mother? Are you my mother? Are you my mother?
What? Wait, what cartoon is that?
It's like a Looney Tunes. It's like, are you my mother?
Oh.
You don't remember, like, you my mommy or something? He's just, like, going around trying to find a new daddy with everything.
With everybody. This guy's falling. By the way, Chicken Little. Chicken Little, one of the most, probably bottom two chickens in the world, right? The most annoying chicken. Why did anyone believe Chicken Little? Why did Chicken Little think the sky was falling anyway? Was it because it was raining or something?
Well, I mean, didn't he? Chicken, no one believed him, and the sky's still up, right? I don't know why he thought the sky
Chicken Little falling. Feels like he would definitely be a reality star. So, like, so extra about something that's, like, not needing to be extra about.
Are You My Mother written by Dr. Seuss? No, he did not write that. It was written and illustrated by P.D. Eastman. Well, there you go, everybody. P.D. Eastman looks shockingly like Stephen Sondheim. Just looked it up. So there's some useless information for everybody today. Run with it. So they're sitting for dinner, and the stews are serving bread and oysters and blinis for caviar. And Jen serves the blinis, and she's like, oh, my God, there's no room. There's no other plate here. There's just a bread plate. Kaylee put in the whole effort to put down an extra fork for these appetizers, but didn't have the brain power to realize you need a fucking plate. I mean, the fact that I'm serving caviar and oysters on a bread plate, if my heads of service could see this right now, they would literally have a stroke. Hi, you're in service. It's part of your duty also to make sure the plates are sat. You know, or that the plates are dropped for whatever is coming up next. And with someone, as someone with so much training, you should know that, madame.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I feel like her monologue is hilarious. First of all, it's like crazy that this is a real monologue. I feel like it's a monologue that I would give from the spectator seat of watching it at home and talking about it on a podcast. But if you're actually up there in the field and you have the ability to change it, I think what I would do is I would say, oh, you know what? Let me get you guys some larger plates. And then I would put the tray down on the bar and I would serve the larger plates. Because you're either going to do the unprofessional thing, which is put the stuff, cram it onto a bread plate, or you're going to do the unprofessional thing, which is put the food down on the side for 2 seconds while you put out some plates. Because the plates are right there, right? Aren't they like by the bar or something? So like this...
Or serve it.
I don't know.
If they're doing it kind of family style, serve the food and then bring the plates. It's cold food. It's not like it's hot food. It's caviar. Come on.
Yeah. But I did love that she acted like this was a flagrant foul, like a huge demerit on Kaylee's work. And like she's acting as if someone had shattered a glass and then put it in someone's bed sheets and didn't say anything. Or even worse, came in bed sheets for 3 days and didn't do anything about it. So like, she's like, I cannot believe they have to eat the oysters and the caviar on a smaller than usual plate. It's absurd.
Yeah. And she says as she walks away, oh, I knew there weren't going to be appetizer plates on that fucking table. I'm not going to say a fucking word. And that's why you're never going to succeed. Because
you're toxic.
Nobody wants to work with that. You're a toxic, horrible human being. Also, you're young, you know, and I get that. But that's a lot of change that's going to need to happen because nobody wants to work with somebody like that. That's
no.
You don't lift up by pushing other people's down. Okay. I mean, I guess you can. Like if you push people down and then you stand on top of them, you'll technically be higher, but you'll also be standing on a lumpy person. And that's not no way to stand. Like your back's going to start hurting and your knees are going to be uneven.
Yeah, she's just happy for Kaylee to fail. And so she's not going to help her out when there are mistakes. So she's just going to, you know, she's just hoping that the guests will complain later and then Kaylee will get in trouble. That's what she's trying to do, which is toxic. It's not helpful. And that's why she's not going to do well. I would say she'll have trouble finding jobs in the yachting industry, except it's clear she'll be back for like one or two more seasons of Below Deck because they have to bring her back now. She is such a great, like miserable stew. And so funny that, like, she has to be in the mix going forward.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial. So now everybody goes to bed, and the next morning, Joe and Kaylee are flirting through windows. They're lifting up their shirts and being like, Coop's like, Joe and Kaylee are on the same wave going up and down. They're my parents. You know, I really want a relationship just like theirs. I mean, just to watch how it's lasted over the days.
And then the producer's like, are you and Kat on the same wave? He's like, oh, hell no. I mean, I still like Kat, but at the same time, I don't like letting everybody's thoughts and eyes seep into what's going on between us. I can feel the pressure. What are you talking about? Like, what does that mean, you feel the pressure? Like, what does that mean? Like,
I think because everybody like keeps telling them, like, oh, my God, you were so cute. You better be good to Kaylee. You know what I'm trying to say. Don't mess it up with her. She's a great person. He's like, oh, my God, are we dating? Are we married? But they're saying that because you act like that with her. And also, you're both such big, goofy dorks that there's no real other option. You know what I mean? I think everybody is seeing it, but he wants to think of himself as like a Joe who's just going to be playing all the girls.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, babe, you're a big, goofy dork. And this is your lot.
Right. So. And like, I'm not like, oh my God, I'm confused by these words. What does that mean? Pressure. I've never heard of this. The point is that we've heard it a million times from a million guys on a million of these shows. Like, oh my God, there's just so much pressure. But what does that really mean? When you drill down to it, what does it really mean? People are asking about your relationship. They're being nosy. Sure. If you don't want to have to keep on having to just like talk about your relationship, you just tell people, listen, I really like her, but the more you guys ask me, the more I'm getting frustrated. I don't want to hurt her. Whatever. You just say, please stay out of my business. But, like this idea that you're going to blame her for it and you're going to pull away from her because you can't handle other people's questions is like so unevolved, I think.
Well, that's Cooper. I don't think anybody would judge Cooper as evolved. You know what I mean?
Definitely not.
No one would see him and be like, wow.
But it's just such a stupid excuse in general. It's like
it's a new one at least, because normally it's like she's pressuring me. I'm feeling so much pressure, and usually that's non-existent too. But that's just what they say. And in this one, it's like he's feeling the pressure from everybody else, which is so weird. It's just like, we're so famous. We're just such a huge celebrity couple, and it puts pressure on our relationship.
I kind of think that like anytime someone complains about pressure, that means they're actually really not in it. Anyway, because if you're not in it, the reason why you feel pressure is that you're feeling pressure to play the role of the boyfriend or the whatever. Like you feel the pressure that you have to see this thing through, and you know you actually have no interest in seeing it through, and you're only in it for maybe some booty, you know, and now there's pressure on you to do more than that. That's where you feel the pressure. So I think anytime anyone says, it's too much, there's too much pressure or whatever. It means that they actually are just not into it. I think that's like they just cut right to it.
He's clearly not into it, but it's not like she's just chasing him. He was doing this. And that's what makes me crazy, is specifically on Below Deck, where they're like, oh my God, I'm so in. I just want you to know I really like you, and I'm going to take you on a date, and you're just the kind of girl I'm always looking for. And then suddenly it's like some other dude's like, well, you should be dating around. There's so many people that here. You shouldn't tie yourself down. You know, that's not the way to do it. And then suddenly he's like, yeah, I ain't going to tie myself down. And almost like wants to look cool. And then is like, what is she acting crazy for?
Yeah.
You know, we just met.
People are just ridiculous.
Loser. What a shame.
So,
and I knew it was going to happen. I mean, we knew it was going to happen.
We knew.
He was just too nice. And we know this man is from Charleston. Charleston. What did I say?
No, I was agreeing. I was like, you said Charleston. I said Charleston.
Oh yeah, Charleston.
I was like,
in the regional DNA. So we knew that something was going to happen. But the fact that he can still do it with that big goofy smile on his face, his eye does get a glint when he's being mean, you know. But he's still got that big stupid goofy smile. It's just disappointing. Okay.
Yeah. It is. It is. Because
I can't believe in anybody anymore. If I can't believe in Koopa, where am I? Who am I? What is this world?
So, Joy's making breakfast. And, then on the deck, Sandy's like, okay, Joe, we're going to be next to a big boat that's in there. Okay. Or as I like to call it, a Norma boat. Okay. Sorry. I wish I had texted that to her. I don't know if she would have liked it, but I would have. So I want to talk to the interior because you can't really touch a line. Okay. You got to talk to me. So go give them some lessons on throwing lines. Do you think that this could go wrong by having a bunch of people who've never been on the deck throw lines to the dock? You think you can do this?
He's like, I can do it.
I'm super important. I want to make sure we all know it's extremely dangerous if you have touched lines without being trained. So get everybody over here for 5 seconds of me saying, go get the lines. Okay, let's go, team. Let's go, team.
So Joe tells Kaylee that he's going to need her. And Kaylee tells us, since Joe's kind of become the bosun and I'm the acting chief too, I kind of feel like we become an accidental power couple. But I'm normally in the interior and I've not done this before. So this is like really scary, even for someone who's in an accidental power couple. It really is on each team member to pull their weight because everyone on this boat knows how bad a docking can go. Shall we cue the flashback? And once again, this is like now going to be Sandy's bane of her existence. Every episode, they find a way to show the boat crashing into the dock and then something falling off the cupboard in the galley and then Jen in the stew mask. Every episode.
Yeah. It's like the Captain Jason. Wasn't it the Captain Jason who his first season talked about how he crashed into a restaurant or something?
Yeah. And then Glenn. Glenn crashed too.
And then Glenn. And they never let it go. It's like, well, we did a good job. We saw a seal today. Cut to a boat crashing 20 years ago.
Oh, look, Roy Orbison Jr. is coming back on this boat. Cut to the boat just crashing. Whoa, was that a commentary on his music career?
So Joe brings every team member, Interior and Joy, to assist with docking. And, you know, it's like, oh, girls, get to the tenders. One side each. Fenders, not tenders. Fenders. Joy, you're on the bow with Aisha. I'm going to teach you now everything. Kaylee, you'll be with me on this end. This is what leadership is.
Oh, God, there's a lot of wind. Oh, man, of all the times for them to drop a new episode, it's right when I'm trying to dock. Oh, God. Okay, Sheffy, you're on anchor. Kat, you're on that line. Kaylee, you're on a fender. And Jen, you just just put those braids down and just look crazy, okay? Maybe scare away a boat so we have more clearance.
Since the beginning of the season, I believe myself to be a bosun. I didn't expect to have to prove it. Docking a boat down 2 deckhands, I was made to lead.
Okay, sure. He's finally pulling out of that hole that he found himself in when he sold a house to a fraudster and then had to dump his girlfriend in shame.
Yes, the Joe backstory. Oh my God.
That's what this is all building. That's what this is building to.
After I was defrauded when I tried to sell a flat to someone and they ran away with the money and I was so embarrassed. I had to leave my girlfriend because I couldn't even bear to look at her face. And this is the first time I've felt successful since then.
You know, that monologue is coming very soon.
Oh, man, I forgot that backstory. I love that because it really didn't make sense, right? He was selling real estate, but then someone ran away with a bunch of money. What money? How'd you
get
the money?
It's like some sort of down. I don't know. There was some exchange of money that was not secured. And like someone ran off with the money. The house was not sold. He either lost a job or got into trouble or who knows. And then he had been dating the love of his life. And he was so upset by the thing that this whole situation that he dumped her because he couldn't bear to like go back to her.
And he couldn't bear the real estate shame.
Nothing made sense.
Didn't they show up? Wasn't he like, and I was so depressed. I went through a dark depression. And then they showed him eating a sandwich. And we were like, oh my God. The depression. It's like whatever picture they chose to show of him was him just eating a sandwich sweatily. It's like, oh,
it was an AI generated backstory. Let's be honest. This was like AI slop of a backstory.
There's a lot of wind. Oh my gosh. They're using an AI version of Lou Diamond Phillips in this one. This is good. Hope you guys have everything covered. I'm watching.
This looks scary as hell, by the way. It looked like they were going to hit the other boat because they're always trying to scare us. Like, oh my God, we're almost going to die. We've got to wake everybody on the boat. Everybody overboard. Try to get the Kathy Bates' tender. Try to get the Kathy Bates' tender. But this time, the boat really did look like it was about to hit the other boat.
You know, I wasn't scared this time. I felt like it was okay. I mean, technically, there was contact made because Kaylee threw a line out. Yeah, I'm sorry, Ronnie. I was unaffected by the editing this time.
What bravery.
Yeah, well, I had faith. I had faith. You know, Joy was on anchor. I was like, it's okay. Kaylee does at one point throw a line to the dock and she misses and just whacks a police boat that's like next door. She's like,
it was worse when Jen started throwing appetizer plates at the billionaire boat. It's like,
Yeah. And then when she went over to that boat and was like, you want to fuck? So then Joy is, she's texting with Luke, which really is so disappointing. I mean, you really must get lonely on these boats, huh? Like you're just isolated and horny and you have this guy with a great, tall, great body who's just love bombing you with via text. I guess it, you would be susceptible, but God, I just wish she would have higher standards. And she, or not even higher standards, I just wish she just had someone else that she could,
Higher standards. I think that's fair to say. I agree with that.
Yeah.
It's like, but I think it's prison. I think it's like prison love, you know? You're stuck. Yeah. So you're stuck somewhere. There's no other options. I mean, look at all the things that people do in prison in gay porn.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great example. She's like in a prison gay porn right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, look what people do in prison, but I really don't know. I mean, my only experience with prison is that Netflix show where all the ladies are in prison or like gay porn.
I think the better example is like a wedding. You go to a wedding and it's like, oh gosh, you know, but then, you know, cause a lot of people go to weddings just to hook up with other wedding guests, but then you're like, you get there and you're like, oh, no one really worthwhile. But then after a while, you're like, these are my only options. And then people start getting drunk and eventually people start to hook up because this is, you know, you have higher standards in general, but within the confines of the wedding, this is your only pool. So you just gotta like you make it.
You know what? Why don't we compromise here and say this is just like a prison wedding in gay porn. It's basically the same thing. Yes. So you got to kind of excuse it, you know.
There we go. That seems right.
So Joy's texting with Luke and he's like, thinking about you a lot. I'm really thinking about you. You know, doesn't he give her a voice or like a video text where he's like, it's you that I'm thinking of. I hope that you get this. And you're thinking of me too.
Good old Luke. So, so the guests leave and Aisha's like, oh my God, you did so well, Kelly. And Jen's just watching like, she doesn't know about the appetizer plates. And now they've got a Sandy's on the bridge and she's texting Norma. She's like, please tell me you found a deckhand. Bloop.
Bloop. No, but I did find a dick in my hand. Bloop.
I don't think now is the time for joking, Norma. We know that never really would ever happen with you. Bloop.
Bloop. It's not a joke. I went to a wedding in a prison in a gay porn. I'm in love. I'm not staffing anymore. Good luck to you, dumb bitch. Bloop.
I don't even know what to do with that information, but I have to say that if you went to a wedding in a gay porn, they all like me first. Bloop. I turned them gay. Bloop. They're my sloppy seconds. Bloop.
Bloop. You know what? I've got a microwave. I'll heat them up. Bloop.
You don't have to heat anything up because the hot stuff is happening over here at the Cannes Film Festival. Bloop.
Bloop. I just got a report from another boat that someone threw an appetizer plate at a police boat.
Bloop. That is very concerning. I'll have to ask the policeman in my bed what to do about that. Bloop.
Listen, I gotta go, but I hope you watched The Last Wind with Lou Diamond Phillips. It would have been a terrible one to miss. He was on AI for 5 seconds. Hope you didn't miss it. Lady who was busy during the docking. Bloop.
I got an advanced screener of it, actually, because guess what? Last night, I had sex with Lou Diamond Phillips. Bloop. Cannes Film Festival, baby.
Dot, dot, dot. Norma's just gonna leave her on red. So I really like that Norma found somebody. I'm so happy for her. So main salon tip meeting. Wow. Not a lot of people are here. Look at that.
Thankfully, you're all thin and gorgeous. Okay, I loved watching y'all work together. You know, there were no egos involved. Just a lot of eyebrows, okay? And someone who kept running around the deck screaming, I was born to be a leader! I was born to be a leader!
By the way, I just want to say, I think that in the middle of that interchange, I think I switched over to Norma in the middle of it. So I think we were just Norma texting Norma, which... probably clarifies sense. That probably
leave it
clarifies
up to Norma to texturbate.
People are like, why would Sandy be texting that? Sorry.
Well, it's a weird one today. It was a weird episode today because Norma I got distracted. Got late and we didn't know what to do with ourselves. Well, everybody did great. I'm so proud of you, Joe. I got a phone call from Nathan, and guess what? He's not coming back next charter. And I don't know when Nathan's coming back, but here's the thing. Joe's eyebrows have gotten even stronger. So we've got all three Joes here today. Okay. So congrats to Joe and the two little Joes.
Yeah. The good news is that this boat now has two more anchors and they're called Joe's eyebrows. So Sandy is like basically puts Aisha on deck again and Kaylee's going to be heads two once again. So Jen the is bosun. Furious.
I don't know if you said that already, but he's like, I don't want to go TMI, but I'm fully erect right now.
We know. How's this different than any other day?
Okay, everyone, send out good vibes for Nathan, okay? Because we're still going to share our tip with him. And because you did such a fabulous job, you have the day off tomorrow. And I've arranged for you all to go to a beach club. And I've organized a really special dinner for you tonight, okay? You're going to be having Branzino. There, I said it. It's Branzino. God, I can't help it. God, I love that Branzino.
Meeting adjourned. So do they still have to split the tips with Nathan? I wonder if she's probably
going to do Nathan yeah. split, huh? Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I guess so. Crazy. I guess that's normal. So then we go to crew cabins. Jen FaceTimes her mom, and we get to see her mom, which I really loved because her mom's like, oh, hi, Jen. She's like typing in some financial office, in some like corner office somewhere. Like, hi, Jen. Hi, honey. She's like, Mom, things aren't going smoothly on service. Things were just not how they were supposed to be. I just can't do this, Mom. You know me. I'm like a perfectionist with appetizer plays. You know me, Mom. That's the girl you raised.
And her mom's like, well, you know, I saw a post on social media. It's are you on that social media network, honey? It's called Successful Parents That Whose Children Can't Surpass Them. It's a great site. So I saw a post on it and it said, I had to stop expecting me from other people. Jen's like, I'm not trying to be jealous or competitive or a bitch right now, but if I continue to cover Kaylee's ass, that's not going to be the best thing for the boat long term.
It literally is. First of all,
it's covering someone's ass is helpful. I do agree. She's not trying to be jealous or competitive or a bitch. She just is those things. She's not trying.
Her mom just knowing exactly who her daughter is so great. And just like sitting there doing whatever she's doing, like typing. She's like, okay, well, you know, I saw a post. She says, stop trying to expect me and other people. Okay. It's like she's got a whole calendar that she can flip through of bullshit to just tell her awful child, whatever she calls her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, geez. Here's jealous Jen again.
Jealous, okay. Jealous Jen.
Yeah.
Then we go to the pantry. And Aisha is texting with Nathan. She's like, hey, Nathan, Wavy, I'm worried about you. Let me know how you're doing. And he's like, Ish, my back is fucked. I'm trying to do therapy, so I'm not out for too long. I'm like, you're done for the season. I hate to tell it to you. You're done for the season. If you've got a bulging disc, there's no way that 3 days of physical therapy is going to get you back there where you can just be hauling things, whatever. Maybe you can be walking around and ordering people, but like... I think Nathan is done. He's toast.
Yeah, this is a pretty active job. He's like, well, I just saw a nurse and she said, don't give Joe my job. Please, it's doctor's orders. Doctor and nurse's orders, both.
So then we go to Coop and Joe cleaning, and Joe's like, look, I'll fucking say it. I'm glad Nathan's gone for this charter.
Yeah, when he's good, but as soon as that tension's there, it's like, God, none of us want to be there. Am I right, Dad? I mean, I want the best for him, dude, but you may not be my birth daddy, but you are the best daddy I've ever had this week.
Oh, I miss my daddy. So then we go to the main salon, and Jen is like, she just wants to sit and talk with Aisha. So Aisha's like, oh, hello, what's going on? And she's like, honestly, I feel like there was like a lot of behind the scenes struggle, just like a lot of things missed on service, just like a lot of stupid stuff. I mean, have you ever seen two things put on a bread plate before? I mean, I can't. I get so mad just thinking about it. It's just like, why is there no appetizer plates when we're serving the caviar for the oysters? I kind of got in like a little bit of a mood last night because I felt like, you know, small plates for double appetizer. Like, what are we doing here? Am I right, Aisha? Am I right? If you don't agree with me, I know you hate me.
And Aisha's face was just like, ooh, you know, she has that just cringe on her face. So she's like, oh, God, you just make yourself look worse every episode. And I know how this is going to go for you in the public eye. You know, she's like, oh, well, things aren't going to go smooth inside anyway, because we're too down. We're just kind of in survival mode. Yeah, well, you have a noodle hanging from your mouth. It's awkward. And I think that, like, Kaylee is like really struggling, and I think we would all have been in tears if it was difficult. Guess I mean, she sucks. Wow, she's really bad. I mean, is this how we're gonna put our guests, that we're putting our guests in danger? You know, someone could have choked on caviar that had a breadcrumb on it. I mean, who does that?
When you don't have enough room around the caviar, you get flustered, and when you get flustered, you die. Do we want people dying on our yacht? I don't think so, Aisha. I don't think so.
Fish gave up his eggs for this. You know what I mean?
Well, it's hard because I know you've been a chief stew in your mind somewhere, but I really want to make sure that you're respecting the fact that Kaylee is bigger, stronger, cuter, sweeter, more amazing, and always going to have a first place ribbon around her neck. You understand that, right?
I think that's all Jen hears. She's like, what? Like, just her face of Aisha standing up for Kaylee. She's like, respect your boss. All right, then. Okay. Run back to it, you little maniac, literally.
So Jen is like, when you're working for some of the richest people in the world, you learn what real service is. I was a service due on the largest sailing yacht in the world. I had to sign an NDA the size of the book Dune. Okay, pause for laughter, as everyone recognizes that Dune universally is known as a very large book. Okay. Okay, and I know Aisha that has that high standard, so it confuses me why she would be so accepting of these little slip-ups, okay? I was on a very important sailboat with a... I'm like, are you sure that you just didn't... Someone just didn't give you the book, Dune? She's like, I had to sign an NDA, and it was all about the Harkonnens and spice. And let me tell you something, those worms, you can ride them, but you didn't hear it from me. That's all in the NDA.
Let me tell you who didn't serve appetizer plates. The people in Dune. There was not one appetizer.
No.
It wasn't. You work for the richest people in the world. Okay, but you're not. You're working for tattoo shop owners. And, I mean, you know, that was just the latest of a long list of yokels that come on the show. You just had a fake dating show on here last week. Okay, these are not... This is not a Musk boat, okay? Everyone is going to survive. The last charter, they were asking for chicken tenders, okay? No one is going to freak out about not having a separate plate for the caviar. Just calm down. This is not the gotcha you think it is, babe.
Yeah, it's not. So Aisha's like, oh, thank you for your hard work, which is her way of being like, fuck off. And Aisha's basically like, look, Jen has been a really competent stew. She's good, but she doesn't realize that, like, she has to be a team player. She has to connect with other people and with the guests. And you're not going to get ahead if you backstab.
Oh, please.
Steve, yeah. Don't backstab.
So now Jen's pissed. And she's walking through the cabins like, well, I hope that the next guests are really assholes so the cracks will show.
So
cracks are showing. You're the crack. You're the crack. Commercials. Here comes one right now. So then we go to the crew cleaning. Kat finds Jen crying. And she's like, are you okay? What's wrong with you? It's like, oh my God, I feel like Aisha doesn't even like me. Okay? Like, I mean, I miss the days when, like, the chief stew would yell at you and, like, scream at you if you fucking missed a spot on the placement, if you broke a Dior water glass jug or something like that.
What is Jen is 22. What is she sitting here saying? I miss the days when chief stews would yell at you. You just had your senior prom. What are you talking about? You missed the days of like your, you know, it's like you're acting like you've been doing this since 1977. Okay. I just missed the days. But even crazier. Oh, there's a full on mosquito in here. I'm going to kill this mosquito. Ah, I missed it. I love how she's just pining for toxic leadership. She's like, oh, I just want to be yelled at. I want to be yelled at. I want to be walking on eggshells. I want to be scared. I want to be uneasy for 8 weeks in a row. I want to be happy. I want to be break out into nervous sweats and have stress dreams. That's what you call service.
Yeah, she's not getting her way. So now Aisha's a terrible chief stew. But, you know, if you had the chief stew that you wanted, they wouldn't have just stood by while you let somebody sleep in spermy sheets. You know what I mean? That would have been a huge no-no. Like, you knew that somebody was sleeping in sperm and you just laughed about it and did nothing. You would have been fired if you had a chief stew like you're talking about. You just don't see how lucky you are, you dumb, dumb child.
I part of me wonders if she is basically saying like, yeah, I got yelled at, but I knew exactly where I stood with someone. I knew if I was doing well, if I knew if I was not doing well. And here she's like, I can't tell. Everyone's nice, but I can't tell people secretly hate me. And she's just trying to like guess what people think. And it's making her crazy. But like
I think that's giving her a lot of credit. I think that she's mad because Aisha's being so nice about, she's uplifting Kaylee. So she's like, oh yeah, Aisha's a shit stew. And that's why she's a shit chief or whatever. So that's why everything's going to hell, because, you know, I miss the day when there were, you know, chief stews who actually care and who actually, you know, are perfectionists, not like this sloppy ass noodle eater.
Yeah, like yelling shows that you care. But I mean, you see this a lot of times in like Hollywood assistants. Like when I was an assistant for a studio exec, he would yell at me all day long, and I couldn't deal with it. And I finally quit. And then I had when I gave my 2 weeks notice, he stopped yelling at me because it was, what's the point of yelling at me? And then he was like, you've become you're like a much better assistant now as soon as you quit. I was like, cause you stopped yelling at me. But like the people, there's like this weird thing where, you know, the assistant that will work well for that guy is someone who actually enjoys being yelled at in a weird way. And then in turn will rise up and yell at the person below them. And like, there is this abusive cycle that happens in Hollywood and quite frankly probably in many other industries. And I think that like Jen is one of those people.
Shit, it happened in the bowling alley. My Aunt Josie would follow me around going, did you paint that ball holder? What do you call it? The holder of the balls. They look like library shelves, but it's where all the balls are. You know, it lines up the bowling racks or whatever. I had to paint those. And she just kept coming up behind me. I would hear her keys jingling on her pants. And then she'd be like, hey, did it wrong. Do it again. Start from the beginning. Start from inch one. And she was like a hard ass like that. And I was always like, oh my God, she hates me. But, you know, those racks had about 10 coats of paint by the time I was done. And then I saw her at like Christmas or something. And she's like, you did a great job, kid. And I never felt better. You know, it's like, wow, I really earned that. I really earned
made it.
I made it in the bowling alley rack painting industry. And it was all because someone was on my ass. So thank you, Josie.
Well, some people love a boss that yells at them. And they, in turn, become those bosses. And Jen is one of them. She wants to be yelled at. She wants to be, she literally says it. You know, sometimes it could be problematic to be like, oh, she just wants to be yelled at. She's just asking for it. She literally is asking for it. She's like, I want to be yelled at. And
I can guarantee you, if she had a chief stew on this season that was actually like that and yelling at her, she'd be crying and saying, everyone hates me. And then she wouldn't be able, she doesn't want it. I think she's just saying that Aisha sucks. This is her way of saying Aisha sucks. Because if she really had somebody like this, she would be crying her eyes out and trying to, you know, get that person fired, just like she does with everybody else that she doesn't like, you know?
Yeah. And Kat is just like, yeah, you've got to work on your attitude. Like, she's like, I'm so serious, Jen. Like, you need to fix your attitude. Otherwise, it's not going to end well. You're going to get fired. She's like, how much can I tell you? Like, you need to stop acting like this.
That's a good friend, like, yeah, by the way.
It really
Someone
is.
Who's just honest with you. Like, come on, get it together. And so Kat says she supports Jen a lot. But we're working as a team. You can't bring your past traumas into the workplace. So now we go to one of these things that we just saw in Southern Hospital, where everybody eats dinner in the sky. They go up on a big table that's lifted on a crane, and then they're just hung there. And everything they're served was already in that center little section, just kind of hidden behind a little bar, I would assume, right? Or do they have little people flying over to give them?
No, I think they have all, everything's like prepped back there. But yeah, I don't want to go on one of these, not because I'm scared, but because I just feel like I just don't trust that the food is any good. And now I'm trapped up there and I'm stuck with bad food. Like, I'm sure it's like probably,
I want to get up. Food. I'm going to go to the bathroom. You know,
and what about that?
I want to go talk shit about people while we vape outside. I don't want to just be stuck there.
It's like, okay, there's a beautiful view, but guess what? I don't generally want to go to a restaurant that has a beautiful view because those also are sucky. I'm not trying to eat at a restaurant at the top of a tower. I'm not trying to eat at the restaurant at the top of the CN Tower in Toronto. So everyone, just in case there was questions about that, if you were about to say, what about the restaurant in the CN Tower? No, I ate there in 1992. I had breakfast there. It was stupid. Okay, they're all tourist traps. Oops. Anything with a good view. If my restaurant rotates, I don't want to be in it. Okay. I want no windows.
I want a view of white fluffy bread. Okay.
Yeah.
And pasta, like the food. That's what I want a view of.
That's all I want to see is a view. I want to be in a dark basement with little candlelight things and tweezers. Okay. That's what I want. Or
I want to be in my house with all the curtains closed and a blanket over my head while I just shove Domino's down my throat. Like Domino's wrapping the breadsticks that you can also get from Domino's.
Yeah.
That's how I like it. That's the view I want.
Don't buckle me into a dinner that's suspended by a crane. It's just annoying to me. I hate it.
Yeah, that's a lot. So Koopa's next to Kat, and Kat's, you know, being fun. And she's like, oh, my God, are you going to get wasted tonight? Your eyes look – and he's just kind of like, no, and he won't look at her. Just, like, smiling at everybody else. And she's like, your eyes look really green tonight. And he's like, yeah, well, we're about to miss the sunset. It's about to disappear, everybody. And she's like – she just takes a swig of her wine. He's like, don't do that. We're over the hump, okay?
Like, what does even that mean? And she goes, what'd you say? I complimented you. She's just like, there's some weird energy, you know, and they just aren't looking at each other or talking. It's like very, very immature on his part and mean, actually. It's like very, very mean. And so Kaylee, they're just all talking around the table, and Joy is saying how Luke is texting her. And Kayla's like, I mean, you literally like him? I mean, do you say something with him? She's like, I don't know. He fucked someone else. He can run after me for a little while. We have to encourage when someone is coming back and apologizing and writing letters, you know?
He did all that. That's really nice. Thank God, this Luke.
And Jenna's like overhearing, and she's like, what the fuck is wrong like with them? Like, after everything that Luke did, you're really going to like text with him? Like, ugh. And she's right, by the way. So now they all get in the vans, and Aisha is like, so what did you and Koopy Whoopy talk about? This is like her episode of doing that with all the names. She's like, Nathy Waithy, Koopy Whoopy, Sandy Wandy, Jenny Wanny.
And Kat's like, it's awkward. And she's like, oh, no,
I knew it was going to happen. It's the natural progression of men on a boat. I'm so sorry it happened so quickly.
Meanwhile, Joy and Coop are talking in the other van, and she asks him, how's your love life? He's like, since the beginning, I've been wanting to take this slow. May I say it? She's like, do not break your heart, okay? Otherwise, I will break your face. Don't make somebody up. Do not make somebody up. And I love that. Like, don't, like, bring somebody up and then be like, oh, my God, look, he found love. And then start ignoring them and treating them like, why are you acting like a crazy person? What a little asshole.
Yeah. So now they go to Club Revelin. And they're dancing and drinking, having fun. And Cooper is just like dancing with some women. And Joe is like, oh, have you seen how handsome this man is? He's the naughtiest man in Croatia. And she's like, well, I'm the naughtiest woman in Sweden. And it's like, again, Joe's a fucker. Because Nathan.
Joe's the devil. He's like the devil in an 80s movie. He's like, ugh. Temptation. Ooh, come dance with the girls. Don't you want to talk to some girls?
Yeah. So he's talking. So then he's like, Cooper's now dancing with the Swedish lady. And Kat's like, he's becoming a player. I'm like, not here for that. Like 2 weeks ago, he was a Southern gentleman. And now he's like Prince Hansing me. I'm like, I think the fallacy here is I think the Southern gentleman, like he still is the Southern gentleman. And the problem is that your definition of Southern gentleman is flawed because her definition of Southern gentleman is a man who is polite and chivalrous and, you know, puts the lady first. And it's like, unfortunately, what we have learned is that the Southern gentleman acts like that, but behaves like this. And that is the true definition of the Southern gentleman that we've seen on Bravo.
Yeah, for sure. The Brav. So Kaylee and Joe are at the bar and Joe pulls his normal Joe. Here he comes. Anybody who fell for this bullshit. So Joe's like, well, you know, when I'm in this environment, I want to go say hello to the ladies. And she's like, oh, I'm the same. He's like, so I'm going to go do a test. I'm going to go say hello. She's like, why are you testing me? I don't need to be tested. He's like, well, I'm going to go say hello then. And then he goes off. He's like, ladies. And he goes to them. And she's like, whatever.
What an awkward, stupid thing. Like, first of all, why are you saying this to her? Why do you feel compelled to do this? Or just do it, you know, or just do it. If the whole thing is you're just having fun, no stakes attached, just do it. But like the whole thing of like, I'm going to test you or I'm going to do a test. It's like, it is such an ick. And I was proud of her being like, why? I don't need to be tested. Like, get out of my face.
He's only happy if he's making somebody lose it.
Yeah.
He purposely does it every single time where it's like, oh, I'm this kind of guy, I'm that kind of guy. And then I don't know who he's testing, them or himself. I don't know what he's testing for, but he wants somebody to scream and cry over him and get emotional over him. I think that's probably the only way he feels love.
Poor Joe. But also, what is this stupid thing of like, when I'm in this environment, I just want to say hello. What the fuck is that about?
He's trying to get some reaction out of her. It's too easy with her being like, do whatever you want and I'm not going to get jealous. And he acts like he wants that. But then he gets that and he's like, oh my God, does this person even like me? Like, they're not even.
Yeah. He needs that reaction.
Yeah. He needs.
Otherwise, he would just go and say hello to people. We've seen in the past, he has no qualms about doing it. So the fact that he has to actually go over to her and announce it like, hey, look at me. Look at me. I'm talking to other girls. I'm flirting with other girls. And she's like, okay.
Well, also, he was just dancing with girls and she didn't care. So he's like, oh, so look, now I'm going to go. Now let me narrate to you that I'm fucking you over right in front of your face. You know?
Yeah.
Will you be upset? She's like, whatever. Go ahead.
So Kaylee is like, she's like, where is this even coming from? We were kind of having our own fun. I never really showed any signs of me wanting more out of our relationship. I thought we were kind of friends first, and that's not really how you treat a friend.
Yeah, so he goes over to say hello to the randos. And then Cooper comes back to the table, and Kat just walks away from him. And she goes outside and calls her friend. She's like, oh, my God, this guy is playing this shit out of me. And the friend's like, oh, my God, don't cry. No.
Yeah, I'm like, no. And, you know, I also felt bad because when
like, I think this was when she's watching Cooper dancing with the girls and everything. And Aisha's like, oh, I'm sorry. It's like, you know, when you hear, you know, when you're like, you're paranoid about something, like, oh my God, he hasn't texted me back. I think he's like, I think he's over me. I think he's ghosting me. And your friends say, relax. It's only been 12 hours. You don't know. Like, he could be busy. There's a reason why I haven't texted you back. But when your friends say, I'm sorry, you're like, oh shit, you're not even giving me, you're not even telling me to keep my chin up or to think positively. You're actually agreeing. You're like, yeah, it's bad. Cause Aisha's like, I'm sorry, honey. I was like, oh man, that sucks for Kat. Like, it's blatantly obvious to everyone that Cooper is now moving on.
Yeah, because we just saw him acting like this before when she was getting upset at the last night out that they were at because he was talking to the people at the bar. And then she's like, we're going outside to talk. And then it starts raining and then everybody's out there watching them and cheering. And the, you know, waiter brings over an umbrella and it's like, okay, we're on a movie set. So then he's tried to play it up for the audience and be like, we're okay, everything's great over here. And then he immediately starts acting like that again. So
yeah,
I think exactly Aisha saw all that and was like, yeah, this guy's clearly.
Yeah, she's also, like,
again, it's a below deck guy. So Aisha knows.
It's a below deck guy. And honestly, you can tell that this girl Kat is a real sweetheart because I think for the first time ever, maybe on any Bravo show, she's in her confessional, she's crying. She's literally crying and she's like, oh, he played them on, like, he played the shit out of me. It's just, I feel like shit. We've seen this happen millions of times on millions of confessionals. And for the first time ever, we hear the producer say, I'm sorry, honey. Like an actual empathetic, yeah, sympathetic moment from a producer. I was like, this is bad. Okay, now I'm really mad at Coop because obviously this girl is so sweet enough that the producers are like feeling bad for her. Okay. And they're not humiliating her. They're just showing, like, look at this poor, sweet girl, like one of the sweetest girls we've ever had on this show. And this guy who acts like he is a Southern gentleman or whatever is just breaking her heart.
Yeah. So now Jen, you know, even dummies can do good sometimes. So she's with Coop and she's like, look, she's my bestie on this boat. And as much as she wants to be chill with everything, she's not. And she likes you. And he's like, well, look, at the end of the day, you get daddy for daddy. And I don't want Kat to hurt. Okay. I'll have that conversation with her tomorrow. Okay. But she's upset right now. So see, this guy, fuck this guy.
And he won't even really have that conversation, by the way.
Nope.
So, Kat's just like really embarrassed. That's ultimately what it is. She's embarrassed. She feels tricked. And I think the thing is also like there was nothing makes sense about it. Everything was fun and cute and nice. And then all of a sudden, just not anymore. Like, and she has no idea why. And like, it's alarming. And so,
it's not the first time he's done this though. And that's what's so frustrating because we know because we've been through it for years, you know, or we've had more experiences and stuff. But like seeing someone so young just falling for this shit over and over again with someone like that, because then he turns on the charm. It's like last time he ignored her and then he turned on the charm and now he's doing it again. And then he's going to turn on the charm again. You just keep getting on the ride, you know, get off the ride.
Yeah. He's a dick. So, I mean, of the dicks we've encountered on this show, he's a nicer dick, but he's still a dick, unfortunately. And it's sad because it's hard to feel like maybe he wouldn't be like all the other below deck guys, but the odds were stacked against him. He's a below deck guy and he's from Charleston. There's just no way he's not going to be like this. So meanwhile, Kaylee basically tells Joe, guess what? You're not getting anything from me tonight because I didn't like what you said. So bye, which I liked that from her.
I love this because she goes, are you okay? You seem disparate. And he goes, it was a test and you passed. And she's like, oh, yeah, go to sleep. You're not getting any tonight, buddy.
I'm so surprised with Kaylee because she came onto the season being very like very positive and like, oh, I love happiness. I love being happy. I love being enthusiastic. And I thought she was going to be sort of like the type that would sort of fall into Joe's clutches and be like, oh, I just love him with, you know, like I thought she'd be you know, optimistic about building a relationship with him. Like, she just rushes into relationships all happy, whatever. I was not expecting her to be very, like, clinical, not clinical, but cut and dry about, you know, having hookups. I'm totally shocked and delightfully so.
Yeah, I think she's great. And also just being like, okay, saying you can do whatever you want doesn't mean like go out of your way to be an asshole and hurt my feelings. Like, that's just weird, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you're attracted to somebody else, be attracted to somebody else. But like, you're purposely going out of your way to hurt me to get kicks. And then being like, oh, you passed. Fuck off.
Yeah.
I'm passing on this opportunity. Okay. Thank you very much. So Aisha is texting Nathan again, and he says he's happy to be with the baby. And Sandy comes in, and she's dressed like a pirate. She comes to Aisha's cabin, and she's like, hey, it's me, Captain Sandy. Arg. We're going to do something wacky. I'm going to have you dress like a pirate because we're going to tell everybody they're going on a pirate ship tomorrow.
And she's like, oh, I love this Sandy Wendy. It's great. So then they go door to door, dressed as pirates, waking everyone up. And it's going to be wacky, big day. So they go to this pirate ship. And Aisha's like, so cute, coopy boopy. How are you going? He's like, I'm good. You know, I'm coming back to life. It was a great night, though. Had a lot of fun. You know, it was a great time. Got to have a conversation later. It's like, you should. I feel like you're freaked out and pulled back. Don't do that. Just be communicative. He's like, got it. Keep it all bottled up in the inside and not really say anything about it. Okay, over and out.
I just feel surprised how he's evolving. I thought he was this nice southern boy, and I don't know if it's because Joe's maybe rubbing off on him, literally, figuratively, or if this was just him all along, but he'd better make it right. Cat's wonderful.
So Joe and Kaylee are talking elsewhere, and he's like, Kaylee, I made a mistake, didn't I, when I went up to you, and I said I'm going to go speak to other girls. Oh.
And she's like,
you're going to get upset about that? Go ahead.
She's like, well, you know, I didn't care that you did it, but I cared more as like a friend. Like, I felt like maybe you don't need to do that in front of my face. Like, if I was making out with a guy, maybe that wouldn't be very nice to you. But to be honest, I can't be bothered to have fights. I think we should really just like pause, please.
We're young. We're having fun. Let's just see what happens.
She's saying really pause on the fight or a pause on the hookups? I assumed hookups.
I don't know. Yeah, that's what I thought too. But yeah, now that I think about it, maybe she just meant like, yeah, I'm not going to fight with you. Because he's like, we're going to have a talk. She's like, yeah, I can't be bothered to fight with you. Sorry. Not important enough to fight with, eyebrows. Okay.
Yeah. So then Coop sits next to Kat. And Kat's like, how was your night? And he's like, it was good. I had a good night too. Didn't seem like it. Well, it was awkward. Well, there were definitely some animosities coming towards me by the end of the night. See, like, I hate that. Like, you know, the animosity started with you when you ignored her and you were being cold to her. That's the animosity. Don't make it seem like it was coming towards you. Like, you're the victim here.
Yeah, I had some things to get off my chest.
And then he just walks away and she's like, didn't he say something here where he's like, yeah, so we're just like, so that's that. Or like, let's just
that was later
or something.
Oh, that was okay. The second version of the conversation.
Oh, okay. So he just walks off and she's like, Jen comes over and sits with Kat. And Jen's like, was it good? And she's like, no, what the fuck is happening? Well, like, what the hell?
And so, Coop then he just goes over to Joy and starts talking to Joy. And so then Joy's like, I don't know why you don't want to marry her. She has everything. And he's like, yeah, she's a good person. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then they arrive at this beach club.
Meanwhile, they can't even get away from each other because they're on this tiny pirate boat. So they keep like switching to have conversations and everybody can just see each other on this pirate, you know, kind of hear each other on this pirate, this show.
Yeah. And so they're at the beach club, they're partying. Luke sends a video to Joy and he's like, salut, Joy. That's me working on my French. Hope you're having a wonderful day, wonderful end of charter. Let me know how you are. I'd love to hear from you. Ciao. Oh, I apologize. Au revoir, French.
Hey, shall we all cheers to Luke? And they all give a big cheers to Luke. And Jen's like, I do not want to hear that name again. Like, I want to have a good day. Please, why are they talking about Luke now? Cheers.
And Joe's like, well, Luke, he's a nice guy, regardless of what happened. It's sad to see him leave, but he's missed. And she's like, ugh. I actually thought this was disrespectful, quite frankly. Jen is a monster, but Luke was mean to her. I'm sorry. Luke was a dick to her. And Luke was like she's absolutely right when she says in like 2 seconds, you know, like Luke was the one who literally came on his boss's sheets and played two girls on the same boat. Why are we celebrating this guy? And I 100% agree. I think this was like obnoxious. It makes her feel really uneasy. They all know what he did to her. And they're like, oh, but he's a good guy. He's a good guy. It's like, oh, boys will be boys. I thought it was actually really obnoxious.
Well, unfortunately, Jen's not a nice person and everybody knows it. So, you know, I don't think anybody's just not nice. So I don't think that anybody's. And also, remember the night when it ended with Luke and she was like, I'm going to have a talk over here. And then she kept calling people. She called like 4 different people to chat during the dinner. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think she's just so much drama and she's so obnoxious and clearly acting like a narcissist. You know, asshole that nobody cares. And Luke was nice. And then Luke did his shit and was like, but I'm so sorry. And then he gets puppy dog eyes and all of that stuff. Jen's just never going to get the response she wants from people because she's not good to people.
Yeah.
But I agree. Exactly right. Luke was an asshole, but, you know,
but she has no social Jen's capital on this either. Boat. So no one cares if she's unhappy, you know?
And it was also like, oh, she likes him? Well, I'm not going to have a love triangle, so I'm going to go interrupt them and get him first. You know, that whole thing, she was acting like an asshole in that triangle as well. So mm-hmm. I don't think anybody's going to feel for Jen.
Yeah. But I just still also think that, like, I think Luke was a dipshit. And I don't. There must have been a side of Luke that they all saw and they really enjoyed, because the fact that Joy is still texting with him, they're all raising their glass to Luke. You know, we did see in the first episode or two, he has like a goofy side that was kind of funny, and there must be something, because I just feel like, why does Luke get this like heroic edit? You know, edit not on the show, but like amongst these people in their minds. I'm like, it feels weird. It feels privileged. I don't know if it's heroic.
I think it's just that he keeps calling. Like, he's still around and he keeps calling. Usually they're just gone. You know how Below Deck people are. It's like once you're on there, they're like a brotherhood or a sisterhood or whatever. Mm-hmm. a fraternity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say. So maybe it's just that, because he's always calling. He's still there.
I know, seriously.
So and he also apologizes and stuff, which Jen doesn't really do.
Mm-hmm. Well, but it's all insincere.
It's all bullshit.
Reputation management.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's like you've got one asshole who is like really apologetic and really performative. Like, I'm a good person. And then you just have an asshole who's an asshole. So,
yeah.
Coop, the one making an effort is going to win, you know?
Coop is like, he asked Aisha if he should check on Jen. And she's like, that's probably a good idea, which is also shows that Aisha does not like Jen, because Aisha does not go after her. So Jen's like, I ask everyone respectfully for my own mental health. Let's not talk about Luke. And he's somehow screwed Joy over. I don't know why the fuck she's still talking to him. It's like, yeah, I'm sorry you feel like that. Anytime you need anything, I'm a Southern gentleman again. She's like, thank you. I really appreciate that. Like, yeah, Jen's definitely a little harsh, but at the end of the day, you get daddy for daddy. And I feel like we're all a team. So I do want to be there to support her just as I want there to be support for everyone, except for Kat. She has too much pressure to support her, so we can have just one big happy family.
Yeah. So then Joe asks Kaylee about her and Jen, and he's like, is Jen still mad at you? And she's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm realizing how immature she is. I wasn't counting for a second. I mean, she was, obviously. And I think this all just stems from that. I mean, she wants more, you know, it just didn't work out. And she's like upset. And Jen's just kind of there lingering around them. She like walks up and Kaylee doesn't stop talking. She finishes her sentence and is just like,
yeah. Kaylee's like, fuck this bitch. So now Aisha is like, Cooper, I think that you should get your convo-wanvo over with Kat, okay? He's like, yeah, okay, I can handle it. Doesn't need to be an operation. I'll get it done. Meanwhile, over on the yacht, Sandy gets it. She's like, oh, I got a text from non-Norma. Maybe she was really weirded out after our last conversation when I inhabited her body, and then just she wound up texting herself. That was so weird when that happened. But look, it's from a bravado deckhand saying, Captain, I can come. Whoa, finally, yes, got a deckhand.
Somersault, somersault, eggplant, eggplant, somersault. God, I wonder who this could be. So she makes a call to the mystery man, and she's like, thank God. I don't think anybody has ever said that when they found out that Max has been put on their stuff. I think this is the first time. So congrats to him.
No, I'm so upset that they're bringing Max back for a third time. Like, I cannot stand this guy. I personally don't think he's good TV. I think he's just annoying. You know, it's not like Ellie, who they bring back and she could be like an absolute monster, but she's just like deeply entertaining. Max is just annoying. He's just like an annoying man child, like a 13-year-old child bouncing off the walls who needs to be put into a shock collar. So everyone is changing for dinner.
Well, and the point is that they bring him back to trigger Nathan, but Nathan's not there. So, I mean, I guess I see what they're doing. They're like, let's see if we can make Joe just as crazy. It's like, be careful what you wish for kind of thing. Like, okay, yep. Joe, now you're in charge, but you've got Max.
So Coop, it's like, okay, time to have this conversation with Kat. We're going to, you know, get on the same wavelength and, I'm going to let her know how I feel. He goes, so, should we go ahead and just do this? Which is a great way to start a sensitive conversation. And she's like, I'm right here. She's like, yeah, why not? Hey, let's just be friends and vibe. And like, that's all that needs to be said, right? Let's just have a great freaking time. Okay. Let's just be besties. Okay, great. See you later.
Oh my gosh. And everyone's showing up as he says that. And she's like, oh, she's telling us, is that a breakup? And the producer asked Cooper, so are you feeling like you're on the same page now? And he's like, yeah, we're pretty much on the same page without the page being announced. But I feel like it doesn't need to be talked about. We're good. Let's just move on.
Great. She's like, what was that? That was awful. So now they go to dinner and Coop is, he's tired. And Kaylee's like, you're being honest and good to my girl, right? He's like, 100%. I said, I'm 85,000, right? And Kat and Jen are on the other end of the table. And Kat's like, do you want to know what our chat was? He goes, let's have our chat. So we're good. Yeah. And we're like, so done. Like, I'm never lowering my standards because I think I'm valuable. I wish Kat had remembered that she had said this by the end of the episode.
I know. I wish she stuck with that. So it's just like, okay, this energy's really weird tonight. Much awkward energy. So then she gets a maraca. And then things are never the same. Isn't this where she gets her little maraca thing?
Yeah, she starts shaking this maraca, and she shakes it for the rest of the episode, and it is so annoying. Like, she's really just shaking it nonstop. She's just in bed alone, just shaking it. It's like a fidget spinner for her. It's
she woke up shaking it. It's the max of props. Like, put it down. Put it down.
Why did she? Who gave that to her? She's like, well, it's been a long day, and the only thing that's been able to break the tension is the maraca. And she just starts shaking it like crazy on screen. I was like, okay, please don't make this a running gag for episodes.
So then we go back to the crew cabins, and Aisha is still with the maraca. And Kat texts Coop, and she's like, I'm not ending the day like this. He goes, okay, meet on the bio bosun's locker. So now they go hide in that little locker. They shouldn't be allowed to do this. You guys are on a TV show. What the hell are you hiding? Like, people do that to have sex, not to have this conversation.
That I know that's the thing too. It's like, this does not have to be a hidden from production conversation. Like, this, you guys are literally acting like you're doing something illicit right now. And so he's like, I don't really like talking about my emotions, but she does. So I'm here for that if she needs it. But since there is some tension, that I think it's best we just part ways. So then she's like, what's been up with you lately? What the fuck's been up with you lately? And he is like, like, you know, all everyone wants to talk about is you and I, and I feel like it's just all eyes on us. And she's like, well, how do you think I feel? Okay. And now I just feel stupid, like I did something wrong.
And then he pulls out the typical thing. And we already saw Luke do it this season.
Yep.
Where he was like, do not tell a single soul that we're hooking up. It's the big secret. So he's like, well, I do like you, but hey, look, I've got an idea. What if we kept doing what we wanted to do, but told the rest of the crew we weren't hanging out anymore? Because then we could have fun and sneak around just like sneak smooches. Oh, yeah. So you can make her look fucking crazy the next time you go out and make out with somebody, which you will. And then she gets all upset and be like, see, I told you guys she was crazy. We're not even together.
Ugh. Yeah, this seems like a great plan. What could possibly go wrong? Because she's like, okay, that's kind of fun. Like, it's like, cool. Like, we're like sneaking around. Like, that's actually kind of cool. It's like, no, until you're going to decide you don't want to sneak around anymore. And you'll be like, why can't I be, if I like someone, if he likes me and I like him, why can't we hold hands in public, you know, or kiss when we're out for dinner? Yeah. Like,
this is a manipulation tactic so he can get what he wants from you and then also get what he wants from anybody else and then make you look fucking insane. God damn
and
it.
He says, he's like, well, when I hang around her, she's, you know, she's beautiful and she's got a great smile and she just pulls me back in. Sometimes I feel like I probably shouldn't, but there is still attraction and it continues to happen, which is his quote unquote Southern gentleman way of saying, I'm not really into her, but she's hot. So I still want to have the option to bang her if I can.
100%. Don't ever, ever, ever be with someone who tells you, we should keep this a secret. Never. Yeah. It has never worked out.
It's bad. It's terrible. So now it's a new day. And Kaylee's decided that she's going to have a talk with Jen because she needs to. She knows that Jen doesn't like her. She doesn't even like Jen that much, but she needs to sort of get that under control. So that's her plan for the day. And then Coop and Kat are talking over breakfast and they're all of a sudden being very chummy again, but it's secret. And Kat's like, day one of the secret relationship with Cooper is very heated rivalry. Like, no.
Did you watch
Well, it is just as boring. It is just as boring. That's for sure.
Yeah, but the thing is, it you know, it's heated rivalry coded, but it's the closeted relationship that the guy has with the movie star, you know, when he starts dating the starlet or whatever, and she's finally like, hi.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. You know, difference is, you're not the main couple. You're the one that's kind of being fucked over here.
Yeah, the difference between this and heated rivalry is that in heated rivalry, both people like each other. And that's not what's happening here. So Sandy's like, okay, everyone, preference sheet meeting. Okay, Bunny is an economist. I don't know why that was like the funny. Bunny is an economist. Not what I was expecting the first description of Bunny to be. Bunny is an economist, an entrepreneur, and a visionary launching their new venture, Econ Club. To celebrate, they're taking their closest friends, Jace, Jordan, Judah, Jacoya and Jacoya's twin Sequoia. Oh, and Tiara, but they don't talk to Tiara because Tiara doesn't start with a J. And they barely even talk to Sequoia. They only talk to Sequoia because they think it's Jacoya. Really, only Jay's allowed and Bunny. So anyway, they're here to honor their success.
Bunny demands the best from gluten-free nighttime snacks to vegan cuisine. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, no. Here we go. They've had it too easy. I think they're like, okay, everybody. It's been pretty easy so far. So here you go. Gluten-free and vegan and everyone else is just as picky and fabulous. Oh, no. I've heard that before.
I'm going to say right now, none of them will be fabulous. So Sandy's like, oh, and Joe, guess what? I'm going to have you as bosun. Whoa. Is that a pencil in your pocket? Are you just happy to see some stripes? Whoa, here you go, Joey boy.
He's like, this might be TMI, but I'm erect. We know. You're always erect. It's the best thing about you.
Captain Sandy's support means the world to me. I don't know how long I've got to prove my worth, so I'm going to take advantage of every minute. I'm going to hit the ground running like a sprinter. That's what you get with Joe as bosun. I'm the fucking Joson, baby.
Okay.
So Kaylee pulls Jen for a chat. And she's like, you know, I just wanted to have a little chat with you before we go on the next charter. You're just so good at your job, Jen. Good at your job, Jen. That's your nickname right here. Job, Jen. Jen Job. You're just so good at it. You care so much. And I'm sorry if I ever made you think that or thought otherwise, because that's just not the case. It's like, yeah, like, I just think, like, a lot of things were not going correctly. And, like, a lot of communication was just up down the drain.
Well, coming into this next charter, I want you to know that I do have your back, but I will make mistakes, and I've made mistakes. She's like, yeah, it's called appetizer plate. Where were they? I mean, oyster and caviar on a bread plate. I mean, bitch, please. Yeah, so anyway, so I just, you know, I make mistakes. That's just what happens. And this is my nice way of saying, don't fucking come for me, bitch, because I'm the one in charge. Okay.
She really handled this so well, because when she was kind of smart with her, she's like, hey, yeah. She's like, yeah. Oh, I made so many mistakes. Yeah, isn't it funny? And it just kind of disarms Jen. You know, she doesn't really know what to do. So she's like, well, I mean, I'm glad she took the initiative to talk to me, but I still don't think she knows what she's doing. So I'm just going to stay in my lane for next charter. I'm not gonna say if she was on fire, I would watch her burn, but I definitely wouldn't use my strongest hose.
Because, like,
they said that in June.
Yeah, famously, that's what Paul says to his mom. You all know that when you sign there, do an NDA. So Kaylee's like, we're gonna kill this next child, right? She's like, yeah, we got it. So Sandy's like, okay, I have good news. I have a deckhand starting today, Aisha and Joe, and he has experience. And both of you know him. You can watch the Odyssey with him, but you have to take off the eye. It's Max.
Oh, and everyone starts cheering. Has nobody watched his show? What are you cheering about? And Joe's like, oh, the man is absolutely off his nut. I mean, he's batshit crazy. I've seen him drive Nathan off the wall. I'd be lying if I didn't say I was a little bit nervous, but I've got it covered.
Max is like, hello, I'm back. So annoying. But then the previews for next week, we see that Nathan texts Max and is like, have my back no matter what, and I'll make you lead deckhand, which I think is so fucking toxic. Nathan is actually
Fallen off this year. You know, he's really gone off the deep end this year. And I get, like, he has a new baby, blah, blah, blah. He's been a fucking asshole this whole year. And to see that he's this immature, it's great.
It's basically a wonderful parallel with House of the Dragon, which we will be recapping next. But you see, power corrupts. Power corrupts. Paranoia, ego, it all comes in. Got to watch out.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for being with us. We will talk to you next time.
For little Max joining Below Deck Mayday.
Talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our palliger. It's Karen Gallagher.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP. It's Amanda V.
Somebody get a
has 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.